Because I think this is important to understand that the purpose of God's favor is for God's plans and God's purposes. That when God bestows favor upon you, it's because he has a purpose and he has a plan that he's trying to work through you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Walking in God's Favor, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Walking in God's Favor, Part 2.
1,000 days trying to accomplish something that God can take care of in one day. One day, he can turn that thing around. I said that favor can't be transmitted, but others around you can benefit from it. And, you know, favor doesn't go from generation to generation. You can't give favor over from generation to generation, but those that are around you, that they can be the recipients of favor. That when God rains down his favor on you, those around you will benefit also. You know, and again, I shared this last week, but my wife and I, you know, we've told our kids, you know, especially when they were in our home growing up, and they saw how God, man, just poured out his blessings on our family. I remember one Christmas, man, I wasn't working, and we didn't have anything. And by the time Christmas was over, we had Christmas dinner. My kids had bicycles, baby dolls, and all kinds of toys. And I mean, just the abundance. And I said that they were blessed by what? The overflow. They were blessed by the overflow. Just by being in our home that they received the blessing. And when God's favor rests on you, that others will be blessed by the favor that God has. Now, we did say last week, and I want to hasten to say that again, is that the Lord's favor, because sometimes we get the wrong idea, that the Lord's favor does not mean that we are free from hardships. It doesn't mean that we are free from hardships, because we looked at these people last week, and we said that Moses had God's favor, he had problems, Hannah had God's favor, and she couldn't have a child. Job had God's favor, and he went through all kind of adversity. Daniel had God's favor, but he was thrown in the lions then. Paul had God's favor, but he had all type of issues. So just because you have the favor doesn't mean that you're not going to have hardships. But the blessing is, as you go through the hardships, now let me ask you this. Would you rather go through the hardships with God's favor or without God's favor? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'd rather go through the hardships with God's special consideration of me. And then we talked last week, how do you obtain favor? How do you obtain favor? And, you know, we said, well, let me hit this since we're there, right? You can go back. I'll talk about that. I wasn't going to, but I'll talk about that. That favor and grace are two different things, right? You know, a lot of people, you know, in situations, they say, I need the grace of God. And I'm thinking, no, you don't need God's grace, right? You don't need God's grace. You need God's favor, you know, because God's grace is his unmerited favor. You can't earn God's grace. God's grace is given freely. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift. Oh, it's what? Grace is a gift of God, and favor is something that's merited. And how do you merit favor? If you go to that next one, how do you merit favor? You merit it by seeking after wisdom, by fearing the Lord, by living righteously, and by prayer. And so if you're not seeking wisdom, and if you're not fearing God, and if you're not living righteous, well, you don't even need to ask God for a favor, right? I'm being honest. You know, why in the world would God give favor to somebody that's not living right? You know, why would God give favor to somebody that doesn't respect and fear him? So there has to be that fear of the Lord. There has to be that seeking after wisdom. There has to be that living by righteousness. And then you pray and ask God for favor. So that's where I left off last week. So let me pick up this week. All right. Made my mouth dry. So what I want to talk about today is, what will favor do? Oh, what will favor do? So I'm just going to, this is in your notes, but look at this. Favor will allow you to receive recognition that you can't get on your own. Favor will open doors that you can't open on your own. Favor will allow you to receive blessings that you cannot get on your own. And favor will allow you to get victory where you can't, that you cannot get on your own. So let me start by saying this. Favor will give you recognition that you can't get on your own. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. In Genesis chapter 39, look at verse 20. And Joseph, you know, he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to have a relationship with her. And Potiphar knew that, he knew what the deal was. But, you know, because the word was out there that Joseph fronted on his woman, that, you know, he would have looked like a fool if he didn't do something. So he had to do something. Even though he didn't want to do it, he had to do something with Joseph. So he put him in jail. And so verse 20 says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, but he was there in prison. All right, so put this picture in your mind, right? Joseph was in Egypt. You know, he was selected by Potiphar to come be in his house. So these people don't know who Joseph is, right? I mean, for the most part. And so all of a sudden, this guy shows up in prison, right? All of a sudden, he shows up in prison. And notice what the next verse says. He just shows up in prison because Potiphar put him there. But, oh my goodness, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Wow. Because of favor that this ordinary guy who went in as an ordinary prisoner became an extraordinary overseer of the prison. What did I say? Favor will allow you to receive recognition that you cannot get on your own. And you know what? I said, Lord, I want to make this real to the congregation. So the Lord gave me four illustrations out of my life and out of the life of the church that I want to share. So here's the first one. For years, we had a radio ministry on different stations. We were on WHAMO at one point. We were on, you know, several local stations. We started out right here in Homewood, right? There was a local station right here, and we had a half-hour program. Me and Jeff would go into the studio on Sunday morning before we came to church. We would go to the studio, and we would do a program, and a couple times we did a live program, right? So we're doing this, and one day I get a call from the station manager at Word FM, and he says, I'd like to talk to you about coming on Word FM. And so I went and I talked to him. Now, I'm not going to tell you the good part of the story. Let me tell you this first part. So I went, I met with him, we talked. I said, well, you know, we got to meet with the leaders of my church. And so we got all the deacons together, and some of you guys might remember this. You know, we went out to Word FM, and we sat there, and we were trying to figure out, I mean, because this was a whole lot more money, a whole lot more money than what we were paying. And so we talked about it, and we said that we're going to step out by faith and do this radio ministry, right? So we stepped out by faith. But I'm not going to tell you. Let me tell you what the radio manager told me. See, I didn't say this, but he told me. And I don't know if he was, I'm not sure. Let me not add to and try to psychoanalyze him, right? But he said, we're going to make Bethany famous in the city of Pittsburgh. That's what he told me. And I was like, okay. Right? Wow. That's and I'm thinking, okay, how can that happen? You know, and as a result of God's favor, I didn't contact the man. He contacted me. God put it in his heart to contact me. And right now, you know, Anchored in Jesus radio program has turned into Anchored in Jesus Ministries, where we have a weekly devotional. We have a bi-monthly Facebook presentation. We have merchandise. We even have this service right now. It's being recorded on television. And you can, during Cornerstone TV, you can watch it throughout the weeks, three times. You know, all started with what? With going on to Word FM and what he said. And so favor will allow you to receive recognition that you can't get on your own. And it's like I told people, man, now we got Anchoring in Jesus book bag, Anchoring in Jesus hoodies, Anchoring in Jesus t-shirt, Anchoring in Jesus aprons, Anchoring in Jesus pins, and getting ready to have Anchoring in Jesus funeral home. No, just kidding. but I'm trying to show you, man, that when God touches your heart to do something for him, that he's going to bless you with favor, and he's going to allow you to accomplish the things that he wants you to accomplish. The second thing, favor will open doors you cannot open on your own. Favor will open doors that you cannot open on your own. Daniel chapter 1, the prophet Daniel chapter 1 and verse 9. In verse 8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart, that he made up in his mind, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel, I just want us to stew on that a little bit, right? That God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. That favor will open doors that you can't open for yourself. That you will knock and you will pound, and you will continue to just beat your fist until it's raw against the door, and nothing will happen. In one stroke of God's favor, just begins to open all the doors. That Daniel made up in his mind that he was going to do something for God. Man, we are not, see, what did they do? They took Daniel and his friends to Babylon. They tried to change their God. They tried to change their education. And they tried to change their diet. Daniel said, wait a minute. You might have changed my name, but you're not going to change the God that I serve, and you're not going to change the diet. And so Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not eat the king's meat. Case closed. We going to jail. Case closed. We in trouble. But God gave favor to Daniel. He went ahead and he spoke to the king's heart, the prince of the eunuch's heart, and he showed favor to Daniel. I was in Durango, Colorado. God called me to go to seminary. Now, instead of calling me to go to Dallas Seminary or some seminary out on the West Coast, he called me all the way back across the country to go to seminary in Lynchburg, Virginia. And I was a little concerned when I heard that word Lynch. So made sure I went online and studied it, and the city actually is named after a man called John Lynch. I said, okay, I'm cool. Left Durango, Colorado, with $200 in my pocket, enough gas to get back then, to get me across the country and to find a room for the night. I had one child at that time, and my wife, because I didn't want to take her to this place that I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there. So I dropped her in the cold off in New Mexico with a little U-Haul on the back of my car and drove across country. $200. Just enough to get me gas and a night room. I look back at that now, and I said, man, I had to be the biggest fool in the world. That made no sense. That made no sense at all. No sense. And now that I'm more sophisticated and debonair in my faith, I probably wouldn't do that again. I hate to say that. But you know what did Paul say? We are fools for Christ. We are fools for Christ. So I take off, and I get there. Almost registration was almost, I got there 20 minutes before registration was over. And at the time, there wasn't too many brothers in the seminary. So, you know, I went and I was in the seminary line, and there was a guy by the name of Alan McFarland. He said, that big football player, you know, he didn't come to go to seminary. You know, he came to register for the college. And so he came over to tell me that I was in the wrong line. And I said, no, brother, I said, I'm going to seminary. He said, oh, you are? I said, yeah. And so we got to talking, and he said, ask me the $64,000 question. Where you staying at tonight? Where you staying at? I said, well, I got money, man, for a hotel room tonight. And he got on the phone, and he said, no, you coming with me. So I came with him, pulled up in the driveway, and then he went in the house. And I guess that, you know, he was getting ready to tell his wife, you know, that, look, baby, look at me. You know, I seen this guy, you know, he don't have anywhere to stay. You know, can we hook him up tonight? And so anyhow, he came back out, and his wife came back out, and one kid came out, and two kids came out, and three kids came out. And four kids came out. And five kids came out. And his wife said, welcome to the McFarland Inn. And I stayed with him. And the Lord blessed me with a job. And then I was there. It had been like 2 or 3 weeks. And he said, man, you need to get your wife out here. I said, but you know, man, you know, I feel bad enough, you know, staying here and, you know, by myself. And he said, man, you need to get your wife out here. So I called Angie. Next thing I know, you know, we were together, and I think we stayed with them for another 2 months. They had five kids. Here I come, you know, with me and my wife and one child. And that was that's been a relationship that God has brought together, and that, you know, over the years has just been such a powerful relationship as we prayed with each other, as we went through the struggle together. But what am I saying? What did I need that night when I ended up in Lynchburg, Virginia? I didn't need grace. I didn't need mercy. I needed favor. I needed favor. Saints, I've seen it. I've seen this thing happen. I know it works. And I'm trying to tell you, I don't know what situation you might be dealing with, but God's favor is available to you, where God will put you in situations and he will work on people's hearts. You know, that man didn't have to tell me to come home with him. I kind of wonder what would have happened if I, after that, the first night, I stayed in the hotel. Dummy. Now you're sleeping in your car. No, the favor of God, favor of God. God is going to work it out. Favor will open doors you can't open on your own. Favor will allow you to receive blessings that you cannot get on your own. Psalm 5 in verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor and will compass him as with a shield. That God will surround you with favor, like a shield, you know, protect you, you know, that favor will be your shield. So my next story, right? The blessings that you can't get on your own. While I was in seminary, we had three children. Daniel was the second one. I had no money when he was born. No money. And so we got a bill from the hospital for $900 from the doctor. And I'm just like, man, okay. So I did what I could. I sent them $10, you know, here and there, you know, another five here and there, 15 here and there. And I kept sending the money, and after about maybe 4 or 5 months, I stopped getting bills. And so I was telling Angie that, you know, we're not getting bills anymore. And so she checked it out, called over there, and they said, we don't have any record of you owing a hospital bill. Praise God. Praise God. So where was all that money that I was sending? Where was that going? Can I get that back? No. Right? God's favor. I have absolutely no idea, no idea how that bill got wiped out. But it was gone. The favor of God. The favor of God. And then my last point, favor will allow you to get victory when you cannot get it on your own. It will allow you to get victory when you cannot get it on your own. Psalm 41 and verse 11. By this I know that thou favorest me because my enemies did not triumph over me. That God will put you in a place where your enemies will not triumph over you. Amen. So my fourth point, my fourth illustration. When I was coaching football at Liberty University, we had a weekend off, and so I didn't drive my car. So I get in my car Monday morning, going to work, and somebody ripped off my stereo. I mean, man, they went in and unscrewed the knobs and everything, disconnected the wires, and took the whole stereo out of my car. Like, man, brother can't get a break. So anyhow, I get to work. And, you know, the first thing I'm going to do, call the police. So I get to work, and my wife calls me. And she said, Bill, did somebody take the stereo out of your car? I said, yeah, how did you know? She said, because the police just called. And this weekend, a man broke in a bunch of cars and stole stereos, and he got under so much, felt so bad, he went to the police station and turned himself in. And the police called and said, they got your stereo. Man, you're talking about favor, right? Favor over your enemies. When somebody rips you off, you know, it's just like the Ark of the Covenant. Remember the Ark of the Covenant when they the Philistines had it, and all of them started getting tumors, right? They said, man, we got to get rid of this thing, you know? And so my point is, what will favor do? Favor will allow you to receive recognition that you can't get on your own. It will open doors you can't open on your own. It will allow you to receive blessings that you cannot get on your own. And it will allow you to get victory over your enemy that you can't get on your own.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Living Under the Anointing. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Walking in God's Favor, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Walking in God's Favor, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Walking in God's Favor, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.